Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Here I guess we have a collection.
Medanam Hanumat Prashak Swami, hey. A Hindi Shikaraham.
Yeah. So I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to talk about the unlimited Krishna. And our hosts, who's up?
Coming.
Arahe.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That's part. So it's nice to have our altar, one samurai sword. It's actually a real sword. Sharp head. And then Devi, right? So there's so many personalities. Jehovah, Allah, Durga, Nishinga.
And Ganesha also.
Ganesh, Ganapati here, and also Saraswati. So who's who? So we're taking a very nice granth, Brahma Samhita. And Brahma Samhita. And there's a very nice description. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, and he found a part of this was still remaining in one temple in South India. And traveling for a long time, months and months, years. So he took the effort to bring two books back with him. He was traveling with one servant and with Balabhadra, Bhattacharya, somebody else. So they took this effort to carry these two granths. So what were the two books? Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita by Baba Mangal Thakur. So Prabhupada says we can worship devatas on the basis of these principles. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, near the end, there's one text. He says, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's examples, he was going from different temples, he was visiting temples left and right, coming and going, all devatas, Ram, Sita, you know, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. So he'll be worshipping different devatas and the principles of Brahma Samhita. So very nice prayers there for Ganesh. Yad pada palava yugam vinidaya kumbai vandve pranama samaye sa vegna vandve pranama samaye sa vignana. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, pada palava yuga vinidaya kumba dvandve pranama samaye saganadi raja dvandve pranama samaye saganadi raja govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami swasti stati pralaya sadhana shaktareka chayeva shabhuganani vivarti dorga Ichanu rupam apiyasha chachesta tesa Govindamadi purusham tamam vajami Kshiram yata dadivikara visesha yoga Sanjayate na hitata prithak astahetaho Yahashambhu tam apistam apatayikaryat Govindamadi purusham tamam vajami Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindam Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So very nice book. This book was written in 1962, I think. 1961. Yeah? While Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he had an invitation to go to a conference in Japan, and the Congress was called Cultivation of the Human Spirit. Right? Anybody here opposed to cultivation of the human spirit? He was against it there. Bob Cratchit. Well, Ebenezer Scrooge. Right? Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah. So it's a very, you know, universal topic. If you had, like, you know, a Congress on Cultivation of the Human Spirit, like that, very, most people would agree with it. It doesn't matter what your religion is, what your faith is. Even scientists would agree. Oh, cultivation of the human spirit. Okay, sounds okay. But so Prabhupada's idea was that Oriental people are very fond of lessons from nature. Right? This is called pantheism. Like Korshi, Korshi, Arae, Do Korshi. So, Prabhupada appreciated that Japanese people, Chinese people, are very fond of pizza and macaroni and cheese. No, lessons from nature. Right? In Western philosophy, this is called pantheism. Pantheism. So does this occur in Bhagavad Gita? Does Krishna also teach this way in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, I'm the light of the sun. I'm the fragrance of the earth. I'm taste of. Among purifiers, I am. Yeah, among fish, I am. Yeah, yeah. A great white shark. would just barely fit in this room like that. Say, oh, where's Sarvabhauma? Oh, you didn't hear? He was eaten by a great white shark. Say, oh, what a glorious way to go. And he was chanting Hare Krishna. He was preaching for him the whole time. Like, your brother, I'm satisfied to be Mahaprasada for you. But, yeah. So this is pantheism. Yeah, vibhuti mat sattva. Specific energetic incarnations like that. And it's the first step in God realization. You know? And somebody says, well, I don't know about God. I don't believe in religion, you know, these kind of things. But yeah, when I see the sun rising in the morning and I see the birds singing in different colors and the fragrance of the earth, yeah, then I appreciate, this is something here. So next step is Paramatma. Well, God is everywhere. The Spirit's everywhere. So Spirit must also be in me. So then you start doing different techniques to sit down, be peaceful. You know, look for what you really, who you really are, what you really want in life. You'd be guided by that. We were in Berkeley one time in San Francisco, Berkeley. It's one of the most radical places on the face of the earth. Yeah, very revolutionary. And so it was a Sunday morning before the Sunday feast. And it was sunshiny, very nice day. And I was sitting on some benches in the lobby with two brahmacharis. And one very tall, aristocratic black guy came in. And he said he was the grandson of the Prince of Haiti. And it seemed like he could have been. And then he said that he had died, right? And that seemed a little more unlikely. And he goes, nah. That's more chairs.
He was there.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it here? Yeah. Okay. So he told us he was the grandson of the Prince of Haiti, which seemed likely. But then he said that he had died, and that didn't seem very likely. But in Berkeley, you don't challenge people on things like this. They say, oh, okay. But then he told us his story. He had some kind of like heart attack or something, and he'd fallen down, and they called the ambulance and the doctor, and they took his pulse and everything. There was no pulse, no heartbeat. And so the doctor signed the certificate, and the guy's dead. So they sent his body off to the local hospital, and they had a morgue with drawers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So they put him on drawer number 8 and pushed him in there. And there's one nurse sitting there. She had the morgue duty, just looking at her magazine, check him in, check him out. But she's sitting there reading her magazine, and she hears this noise, So she goes over, starts listing all the doors, and she comes to his drawer, and there's like... So she pulls the drawer open, and he sat up, and he said that she screamed. And he screamed. And she said her hair turned white. And that actually happened. The prana is so intense, it shoots out. It's just, it's... Big black guys. This is in front of you like that, in the mortuary. But she was a nurse, so she understood what had happened. She grabbed him and screamed for the emergency cart or whatever it was. They came down and fibrillated him and ventilated him, and his heart started going normally. So sometimes your heartbeat can drop down to maybe once every 30 seconds or very slow. It's enough to keep you alive, but you're basically in this thing. So he said when he was in his consciousness, he kind of just came out of his body, and he got in touch with something, my higher self or something that was there, like that. And so we would say Paramatma, right? And God is everywhere. He's the taste of water. He's the light of the sun. He's the fragrance of the air. He's the ability in man. But also he's the Paramatma and all these things. Chapter 10, Krishna finishes all these examples, and he says, but what is the use of all these details? Ekank sena stito jagat. With one fragment of my splendor, I maintain and pervade everything. So why all these details? So he was actually came in contact with that. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita. And you become very fearless when you come in contact with the paramatma. So he said after that, whenever it was some difficult situation, he knew he could always just get in touch, with this higher power. There it is, the higher power. Yeah.
Hari Bol.
What's his name? Kya naam hai? You're leaving me. Yeah. Okay. So he was sure he could always get in touch with his higher power. And he said sometimes he was like in difficult situations in the bar and stuff like that. And you know, he'd always be protected like that. So he was actually a Paramatma realized person. But he didn't know, is it my higher self or is it something that's different than me? You know, it's like seeing in the British, when they were in India, they're putting in railroad lines, you know. They went through one village, the area, small town, there's going to be the railroads coming, the train. And all the local village people are wondering, what is the train? Right? What is a railroad train? So they saw the tracks going by there, being put in, and they saw a station house being built, and a water tank, and wondering, all this speculation was there. What is the railroad train? What is a train? So it's supposed to come at, you know, at 6 o'clock on Thursday, the first train. So all these village people came, they're all sitting there waiting. And of course, in India, did it come at 6 o'clock? No, we're late. So everybody's waiting, coming more and more. They want to go home and eat dinner. And finally, way in the distance on these tracks, they see this cloud of smoke moving along the tracks like that. So somebody will say, okay, it's enough. We go tell everybody, we've seen the train. It's a cloud of smoke that goes along the tracks like that. So the guy said, well, let's wait a little longer. You know, their wives weren't such good cooks. What do we got to lose? You know? So they just thought, oh, behind the cloud of smoke, there's a snake. And the snake comes along the track like that. Okay. The train is a snake that moves along the track and produces smoke from its head. So some people waited to the very end. They saw it came into the station and stopped. There were people inside with lights and talking and children playing cards and eating. And they said, oh, okay. This is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahman means it's just God exists. I mean, there is a reality. You know, Buddha came along and said, there is no reality. Your job is unreal. Your family is unreal. Your body is unreal. Your mind is unreal. The Buddha is unreal. Yeah. In psychology, this is called paranoid schizophrenia. So everything is unreal. Yeah. So the Shankara came along and said, don't worry, there is a reality. What is it? You're not ready for that. This calm down, there is a reality. Oh, what a relief. Yeah. So this is Brahman, there is a reality. Yeah. Things, every chaos. No, there is a reality. What is it? Well, you know. So the next level, Paramatma, Satchit, it has form. Now, this is always that way. I'm always separate from you. One idea is that we're all just the same. We're all one. Just like when there's water in the lake, you see different islands, right? But when the water goes away, we realize we're all one. I'm simply talking to myself. That's one example. Well, no, say no, Satchit. I'm different from you, you're different from me, we're different than matter, we're all different from God. Okay, Satchit. I can appreciate the Paramatma. And then Ananda. What is Ananda? Dynamic relationship. I have suji, I have butter, I have a pot, I have a frying pan, I have fire, I have sugar. What do I have? Halawa. Ananda. But I have to know how to put them together to make them work together. Okay, so there's matter, there's me, there's you, there's Paramatma. And what is our relationship? We will all become the Paramatma. No? What do you say? No? No. Yeah. No, we're always eternally subordinate to the Paramatma. Yeah. Nityo, Nityanams, Chaitanas, Chaitananam, Eko, Bahunam, Yo Vidadati, Kaman. Yeah. Out of all the eternals, Nityo, Nityanams, Chaitanas, Chaitananam, out of all the conscious beings, Eko, Yo Vidadati, Kaman. He's all the Bahunam. He's supplying everybody else's desires. This is the Katha Upanishad, 2.2.13. Double trouble for the Mayavadis. 2.2.13. And Max Müller's translation is incomprehensible. The said simple Sanskrit, but it's, you know, that Mama's definitely, you know, trying to distort it. So, okay, out of all these different eternals, you know, Sat, Chit, there's one. He's different. He's maintaining everybody else. And, that, and once we have that relationship, we accept that fact. I need to be protected. Like little children, if they were lost in the forest or something, some adult, but no, they would die. You know? So we're the same way. We're Jiva Shakti, right? Very small. We have to be maintained. And also that our reciprocal relation, our natural relationship, is to cooperate and to help, participate. You know? Like some fathers, it's Father's Day and his daughter comes, a little, you know, six-year-old daughter, and says, I made some cookies for you. And his father, her father asked and said, did your father help, did your mother help? A little bit. So, yeah, actually the opposite way. But yeah, she did something. She really did something, and he appreciates them like that. You know? So we're small, but we're not nothing. And with Radharani's help, you know, then we actually can do something quite significant. We can play a very important role like that. You know? The terrorists have captured you and locked you in the basement, and they're going to, or the cannibals, they're going to eat you tomorrow morning. And your little child comes in, you say, over on top of the shelf, there's the key. No other place like that. Just get the key and unlock the door. I'm afraid. Don't worry, just do it. Okay. So we're like, sometimes the whole thing depends upon us, even though we're Jiva, you know, by the mercy of Krishna and Radharani. So this is the, you know, ontology, you know, starting with this, you know, pantheistic view of life, like that, understanding who are, what is nature, and developing like that. So Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, and he found the Brahma Samhita, right? Which gives these very, very beautiful descriptions of what is reality, what is nature. So Prabhupada was also, you know, trying to find a proper book to bring to this conference. So the 20th chapter of the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is Sukadeva Goswami is describing nature. You know, it's called Description of Autumn. And he's giving lessons from nature. So Prabhupada, being an acharya, thought, okay, this is very appropriate for these people. Because Japanese people, Oriental people, Chinese people, very beautiful descriptions of nature, and, you know, plum blossoms and willow branches and, you know, jade tap, you know, things so beautiful like that. So this chapter, he thought, let me then write up a description for each of the shlokas, and then somebody there can do them. This is Krishna with all the cowherd boys. So he had a description for each of the shlokas, and then he was hoping that the organizers of the event could then have an artist to do them, and then publish a small book with the explanations for people who come to the event like that. So it never happened. Prabhupada couldn't go because I think of finance. And finally, after Prabhupada left, the BBT in Hong Kong, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, right, took the responsibility of printing this. You know? So many things Prabhupada has given us. And the BBT, originally it was a much bigger book, and the art was much more impressive. They thought, this is so nice, let's get it out in mass quantity. But actually speaking, I think it was a mistake, because it's not a mass distribution book. It's a class distribution book. So they distributed what they had. It took them a long time, and now they're not going to reprint it, because this just took so long to distribute it like that. And so in South America, we have a whole program going on with a class program with universities, Ambassador of India, National Science Council, Agricultural Council, Education University, all these big places like that. And in Peru, they can appreciate this culture, this philosophy. So it's our third and final year of our contract for this festival. Then it goes into a permanent event. Yeah. And so this year, we're thinking of a title, and we thought, okay, why not? Cultivation of the Human Spirit, you know, classical Indian culture. Nice, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, dance, art, music, philosophy, science, architecture, medicine. What else we got? Ladies' fashion show. No, that's amazing. The ladies were having some dispute over something. They divided in two groups and they're fighting over something, you know. So we came in with our program and asked them, said, hey, can you all organize a fashion show? And to me, it was amazing. I was amazed. All the differences just disappeared. It was like, wow! We can dress up and, you know, walk around on stage. It was very nice, actually. You know, I was watching him coming in and swirling around. It was very nice. And then the Indian ladies there, it was all Peruvian girls. The Indian ladies showed them what things, how to do it. They finished off with a children's marriage thing. It was very nice. You know. So it was very, the people love it, the festival down there. The Peruvians, the ambassador of India, he said, Peru is very much like India, isn't it? He just arrived, new one. And he said, yeah, actually, it appears to be easier for Indians to live here than it does in India. The price and everything. And they have bazaars, three-wheelers, you want to go to your colony, everything. To take a picture of people, you couldn't tell the difference. People looked just the same. The architecture, the same colonial architecture. So cultivation of the human spirit. And so we're making a movie. We made movies 3 years, gradually getting better. Actually, I didn't bring with me. But a very good director, he did our movie last year. We gave him more time and more money. Showed him this book. He said, this is so nice. This is just like Peru and the people and the heritage and the big mountains and the paddy fields. And wow, it's just like this, you know. So he made a movie. I just got a copy of it called Cultivation of the Human... No, Light of the Bhagavat, Peruvian Reflections. Reflections in a Peruvian Mirror. And I watched it for the first time. And I mean, we spent $5,000 so far. And we had a little more money to spend. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen, you know? And it was really nice, very nice. He just catches the essence of the thing. He has images, like really incredible images and things like that. So that's going to be the termination. Starts on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday night's in a big hotel. And people can dress up with their tuxedos and their dresses. And then we had some senators coming and people like that. You know, it's very nice, white tablecloths and different beverages and so on. And one devotee is a food manager for a big chain of restaurants there, so he picked out this very nice menu, how it looks. You know. And we had the Gurukula children singing some songs, the devotees doing some very beautiful dances, and then finally we finished off with a movie. Last year we did the same thing this year. And the people, you know, applauding and laughing. Want to buy a copy. So the movie... The National Science, National Ecology Council, CONAM, we showed them this, and we said, you know, you're not going to solve the ecology problems by dumping bags of sulfur into your lakes and stuff like that. You've got to deal with the real root problem. The root problem is greed. Right? You know, Gandhi said, there's enough for every man's need, but not enough for every man's... Yeah. The Japanese say, we're following the Americans. And the Americans have taught us that every human being on the planet Earth is entitled to the three sacred things. Color television, refrigerator, and automobile. But that's the idea, right? That's the idea that we're promoting to everybody. It's material possessions. You've got to have these things. You know. Yeah. You can have heaven on Earth. No, you don't suffer from heat and cold, hunger and thirst. No, an air conditioner. You won't have to walk. You fly in the air like a demigod. But the earth can't maintain this. She's not designed to run this way. She's designed to give you austerity so you can advance in spiritual life. Live simply, as far as your body goes. Simple living and high thinking. Where our American model is high living and no thinking. Let a computer do it for you at all. So the next step in the evolution, right? After human beings, the next step is software engineers. In the end, only software engineers will survive. So we have, you know, a movie, and they want to do exactly. It's like it all happens. It's what Prabhupada didn't come true. But, you know, Prabhupada wanted the book. You know, we got adding a movie. Prabhupada didn't think of that. Or even thought it. Didn't come to the book. And so CONAM wants to make the exhibit. They saw this and they said, yeah, this is what we need to do. Touch people's spirits. We appreciate nature as should be served and we should live simply and cultivate our spirit. Yeah, okay. You're right. So they want to make the panels up and make it into an exhibit that travels from city to city with the movie. School children come in. They see the movie. It's Peru. Oh, yeah. And they go and read the panels. And maybe they're going to pick one out and write a little essay about it or something. Then give them the book. But the book's out of print. I would rush back and buy all these that exist because you can't get them anymore. So I was depressed when I heard that. But I thought, well, wait a second, this is, Krishna's all good. You know? So now what we're going to do is we're very close to reprinting it, full size, right? Big art thing, in Spanish and English. Right? So right away it becomes like inaccessible to different audiences. Here in Houston, it's just like, oh, so you get your bilingual audience. And actually a lot of people like to read. You know, Spanish, English, it gives you a different flavor. The translation in Spanish was organized by Dora Bazan Montenegro de Devota. She has 5 doctorates. She's a dean of the School of Modern Languages, and also she's initiated a disciple of Jayapatakamara, Divyavani Devidas. So I think the translation it's you know, poetical. Her PhD was in poetry and stuff. So hopefully it's very beautiful. This is beautiful in Spanish. Because it takes somebody qualified to translate it. It takes somebody qualified to paint it. So Madame Li Yuan Shuang, it describes fantastic artist. And when she got this, she said, this is the perfection of my career, being able to illustrate these things. And I was just thinking recently also, too, yeah, we can print these. Take selected one and print them. It's full size like that on nice art paper. You print the translation, small thing, and then you can frame them, you know, the translation. And very, very big. You pay $300 to the BBT to get the original, you know, the full size, the 2 megabytes, 3 megabytes each for the art. And it comes out full size like that, posters like that. I have those in a disc. We're not sharing them with anybody. If you go to krishna.org, ISKCON.org. It's the official ISKCON site. It hasn't been updated for like 5 years or something. They're working on this. But it's one section of gallery of art. And one is about the temple in Ireland, and this beautiful song downloads. I just sit there and listen to it over and over again. It shows the pictures of the deities that said that when Tamal Krishnamurti visited Ireland, he said probably the most beautiful Radhakrishna deities, brash Radhakrishna deities in ISKCON were in Ireland. And the song is a guitar song like that. It's just really nice. You just put the photos of the deities. Everybody should do that for their deities. They have Janmasthami things and sketches that people have made of the deities, and the song is like that, you know, guitar song. Remember the words. It's very nice poetry like that. To tell you about my little life and all the things that happened to me. And I was like, yeah, very nice. But also it had Light of the Bhagavad, all the pictures, novel translations, you know, like that. So this is Sankirtan, you know, getting the message out. This was designed, you know, for a cultured audience, like that, thoughtful people. And so now we're trying to do this whole thing in Washington, D.C., in Maryland. One devotee,
Satish Patel. Okay.
Yeah. Shriman Das. He's a real estate guy. He's doing successful, doing well. He says, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. He said, but you keep on. And that's what he's doing well. So he wants to sponsor a center right near every campus, right? You know? So another devotee, Sankirtan Yagna Das, he's a real book distributor guy. It's really fired up. He was a Yugoslavian, he's a grandfather, but you know, younger guy. So he's, you know, staying there. What Shriman did is he bought like a house near the campus, spent like, I think, like $20,000 to, you know, fix the downstairs, so it has took one wall out, made a bigger assembly area, put in an almost commercial kitchen. It's, you know, you can't get sued for zoning, it's not, but it is. It cooked for a lot of people. One place downstairs for a vanaprastha couple or a single devotee. Upstairs, 4 rooms for students, little microwave, that kind of stuff. So the income from the upstairs rooms pays for the whole mortgage, pretty much. And, you know, devotee who's going to school or something can stay downstairs and run all the programs. So it's perfect as for having university programs. And what do you start with? What's the first thing we approach people with? Good food and good music. That's where we start. You know, kirtan, prasadam. That's our movement, really. The most intelligent people. You make a poster up for the biggest event. 2 words should stand out. free and food. The biggest guy on earth will go,
yeah, the food is not free. The food is not free.
This event is not free, and food costs money.
Oh, okay, well, what is it?
Yeah. Okay, good news. Yeah, that's basically, Prabhupada told Sri Dhamma Maharaj, you go travel with your science program and a cultural program. That's how you attract people. So they've started that. They have cooking programs on campus. Cooking programs on the campuses are always successful, and you'll always make devotees. It's a fact. So many ways to do it. So they have vegetarian cooking classes. And they have different, bhajan program, music program like that, cultural program. Okay. Well, now that some people are, they're intelligent people. They want to read something. They want to hear some philosophy. So they're asking NEOS, our organization, so this is what I'm suggesting. You take light of the Bhagavad, make up a beautiful poster with this beautiful art on parchment paper, and every single one of them will be stolen. If your poster is too nice, people take them. It's a fact. So you can't make them too nice, otherwise people just take them all and go down like that. But anyway, I guess it's okay. You just keep putting them back up like that. This will end up in people's houses on the wall like that. So then maybe then you also, what's it called in Spanish, English, it's called gigantefico in Spanish. Big vinyl, thing like that. People say one big vinyl thing is worth, 2,000 posters. Because as soon as people see that, they think, oh, this is like a serious event like that. And then maybe as a separate thing, the date and location. So you can use the same one over and over again. Uses a date and location, you change that. Cultivation of the human spirit. Pick a topic. Cow protection. Ecology. Retirement. Sociology. What else we got? Yes, it's a whole... What I'm working on then is an index, which has the different topics like that, the verses, the descriptions like that, which will be on our webpage. And different... I have an opportunity to talk about different things. So I said, okay, pick out one topic. For example, cow protection. Animals. So you have an event, cultivation of the human spirit, this Thursday Bleacher Hall, 6 p.m., free food, and so from PETA, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals will be coming, so-and-so will be coming, speaking like that, music and so-and-so. And it's just like, it's attractive. Maybe I want to go to that. It sounds nice. And you can even maybe put Prabhupada's words there. Make little handbills. If you invite people from the outside, they bring their own audience. They bring other people. They learn something. And right at the start of the school year, if you know the universities, all the freshmen come. The New Year students, the freshmen, it's their first time, many of their first time away from home. They want to go away, and their parents want to send them away to experience the real life, but in the university environment. So many of them are coming, and it's just like they're just totally open to something new. So if they, whatever they see, they think, oh, that's a part of the campus scene. That's what's going on like that. So if you have your Vedic cultural club, we have one club at actually University of Miami. They asked for a name. The name we came up with was Sattva, the mode of pure goodness. And then cooking, philosophy, idea, lifestyle, ethics. Sattva, the razor's edge.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah,
are you going to the Sattva program? I guess it's,
So then people, then from that point on, they think, yeah, this is a part of what our university is about. Rice University has this club, this thing, and we'll go to different events. So sponsor 3 Light of the Bhagavad programs in the school year, like that. Pick out certain topics. Then have the book available. Have an online, readings in Vedic Literature.com. You can get support, questions, other events, calendars, local places. So this is we're aiming at a systematic program that devotees can use. And if it works, then Sriman Patel is willing to, fund a house near Rice or wherever you wanted to do that. There's some devotees who are ready to go live there. People coming, run it for a few years. So this is systematic preaching. But it should be flexible, It should be a game. It's got a rules and regulations, but then you can play it however you want to win like that. So we're suggesting, okay, so I'm trying to think of one verse tonight. You can find an appropriate verse to cultivate the human spirit. The first three chapters are about summer. There's no water, people are thirsty, they're suffering, beautiful paintings, you know. Then just the right time, the rain comes, and it has like about 4 through 28 is all about different things during the rainy season. The frogs come out, the flowers grow, like that. Then autumn comes, 22 through 48, and different lessons from that. 22 through 28 is all about Krishna coming into the forest of Vrindavan and how all moving and non-moving living entities respond to his presence. So in the movie, Oscar has all these different, has one like a praying mantis going like this, back and forth, and there's flutes playing, and he's going like that, there's elephants going like that, and the waters are falling, and it's funny, it's just like cues, really. And yeah, all moving and non-moving things are just dancing when Krishna comes like that and seeing him. Yeah. The Prabhupada talks about it. He said, this is natural. So I'm looking then for, there it is, text 20. Got my Anjana Sutta Academy index. Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Beautiful pictures. Then after you finish this book, right, then we have the biography of Prabhupada, one volume. That's very nice. Then we have, okay, Lord Chaitanya's biography. And then finally, Nectar of Instruction, which is a complete detail, you know, for somebody who's very serious, that's our whole philosophy in 11 verses. Very serious study. And by then, you're basically, if you're still at that point going on, you're ready to, you know, become involved in a very serious way. And then, Bhakti Shastri. And then, Bhakti Vai Bhava. And then, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, and Avatar. You could become the Avatar. Now, somebody told me that in the very beginning days, somebody was bringing the deity offering, doing an offering, Vajboga offering into the deities like that. And one guy had been coming a little bit, liked our culture, philosophy, the hippie guy. He said, wow, that's incredible. And who's that for? So what's for the deities? He said, well, how long until you become a deity? Well, that's the fundamental point right there. You hit the nail on the head, Bob. You know? Yeah. But that's... Yes. It's, if you give people a progressive path like that, they want to see that. Why should you go to the effort to come to this class if it's not part of like a progressive thing? Okay. Here we have, what do you see there? What do you see in this picture? Spider. Everywhere I see spiders. Describe what's happening.
No.
You don't know? Do you see endless do loops? Conditional if statements. Can you say? Okay. There you go. So it's bigger. It's a whole thing. It's easier to see. You know. Okay. So this is great for PowerPoint, right? So there's this river rushing down, right? With this torrential rains, and there's a water wheel.
I see a wheel.
It's a water wheel, but it's being it says. Fierce torrents of rain break over the strands. Prabhupada's English is so elevated. That means like strands, like a dike or like that, a separating thing. Fierce torrents of rain break over the strands. This is the slope. And the partition walls of the paddy field. These disturbances resemble those created by the seasonal opponents of the standard principles of the Vedas who are influenced by Kali Yuga. Okay? Originally, the path of self-realization was established by the standard direction of the Vedas. So we're mentioning Brahma Samhita, how to understand Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, Krishna. Established by the direction of the Vedas. Srila Vyasadeva divided the original Veda into four divisions, namely Sama, Atharva, Rig, and... Then he divided the same Vedas into 18 Puranas, supplements, and the Mahabharata. And then again, the same authors summarized them in the Vedanta Sutra. The purpose of all these Vedic literatures is to realize oneself to be a spiritual being, eternally related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive form, Sri Krishna. by all these different Vedic literatures, but all these different Vedic literatures were systematically distorted by the onslaught of the age of Kali. All, as the walls of the paddy field and the strand of the river are distorted by the onslaught of heavy rains. The attacks of distortion are offered by atheistic philosophers who are concerned only with eat, drink, and be merry and enjoying. These atheists are all against the revealed scriptures because such persons are intimately attached to sense pleasure and gross materialism. There are also others who do not believe in the eternity of life. Some of them propose that life is ultimately to be annihilated and only the material energy is conserved. Others are less concerned with the physical laws but do not believe anything beyond their experience. And still others equate spirit and matter and declare that the distinction between them is illusory. There is no doubt that the Vedas stand as the most recognized books of knowledge from every angle of vision. But over the course of time, the Vedic path has been attacked by philosophers like Charvaka, Buddha, Arhat, Kapila, Patanjali, Shankara, Vaikarana, Jaimini, the Nayakas, the Vaisheshikas, the Sagunists, the Empiricists, the Pasupati Shaivas, the Saguna Shaivas, the Brahmas, the Aryas, and many others. The list of non-Vedic speculators grows daily without restriction. The path of the Vedas does not accord with any principle devoid of an internal relationship with God, attainment of his devotional service, and culmination in transcendental love for him. Jai, Sopapa Ki. So, it's potent. You know, we were up in Peru, in a town, small town, getting a nice program there. And we're going to go in Harinam, the central plaza. It's a simple place. It's a simple Peruvian town. It's like, I don't know, it's like 1 hour to the nearest city, really. And so they have a slaughterhouse right near the town. You know, a simple country place. Grow their own corn, grind it up. So I was figuring, what can we pass out? Because you, Harinam, want to pass out something. So they had Light of the Bhagavad in Spanish. So I took the text on the cows, text 27. The Prabhupada talks all about the value of cow protection. So we photocopied that, you know, and we're passing it out. And then they have slaughterhouse right there and stuff. But they're simple village people, and they're close to nature, and they believe in God. So I was, you know, passing it out, and I wondered what the reaction is going to be. If they're going to attack us and chase us out of town, or, you know. And so people are looking at it, and I saw people reading it. They're reading it like this and that, you know, who are these people? And they're reading it, and they're looking at it. Reading it some more, reading it like that, you know, and then... Yeah, and everybody was folding it up and putting it in their pocket like that, right? Yeah. So the thing is, yeah, this is challenging, but let me think about this. This is something a little thoughtful here. I got to read this again. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe it's a fact. You know, most people in that kind of environment, they don't like killing the cows. You know? They kind of do it as like, what else am I going to do? But they don't like it, you know? And they appreciate. Well, is there an alternative to something like that? So the preaching in Prabhupada's preaching in here is, what's the word? Like it's the tivrena, right? Tivrena. It's what's the word, English word for tivrena. It's intense, you know. But it's not stupid, yeah? And it's not too much. It's stimulating. It makes you think about things, to wake up like that. I was wondering, you know, if you're going to be somebody here from the Arhat Samaj or the Saguna Shaivas here, they're going to, you know, challenge me. I am a Sagun Shaiva. What do you mean we are not Vedic culture? Okay, you know, let's talk about it. The feeling when you read this is, okay, the author is presenting his opinion, and I can also present my opinion. Let's talk about things. It's, you know, in the Bible, that's the very last book of the Bible. Revelation, the revelation of John. So when it's starting off, one angel is coming and talking to somebody, and he says, you used to be a great devotee, right? But now you're not a great devotee anymore. And you're not even a great demon, right? You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm like the drool from my mouth. So, okay. Let's, you know, why did we, one Indian scholar told me that when Muslims came, they had this religious position, you know? You should all become Muslim. You should worship God this way. He said when the British came, they just marginalized the whole thing. Well, you don't have to become Christian. The main thing is just doing business and following the government and that kind of thing. They said it was better with the Muslims because at least they took religion as important. You know? It's the same way we Prabhupada's preaching here. It's like, there's an important topic. Wake up. What do you think? And it's challenging. It stimulates discussion. And then amongst intelligent people, Prabhupada told Babalaswa, if you want to preach in the university environment, you have to be cool-headed. Right? If you want to preach in another environment, like the longshoremen or truckers, you're going to be hot-headed. Yeah? They like somebody who just gets in there and screams and yells. And, yeah, okay. You know, I don't agree with your argument, but you sure can argue. I'll buy your book. Exactly. Yeah. So the same way is that, okay, yeah, you can... You have good arguments, logical arguments, and then we should know these groups probably, even some idea of who the Sadguna Shevas are and stuff like that. Yes, sir?
I wanted to mention that when Kamal Krishnamurti was in Cambridge University, he got the idea to do the same thing, to have a art display of the paintings of the Bhagavad. And he applied to get the office of Cambridge University to pay for the shipping of the... He was trying to, I think, get the original art from Hong Kong.
I was trying to find out where it is.
Yeah.
But the archive said, ho. 20 years ago, good luck, Baba.
But I think it's in Hong Kong.
Yeah, but your point is too, how well was it preserved?
Yeah, but
he... If anybody can find out where, it is. Because what we have, the pictures we have, are pictures that were scanned from the original book on a... cylinder scanner in Sweden, so they're a good quality, but if you go back to the original art, it's even better. But, and also I have a suspicion too, because it is classical Chinese art, that is the quality is still there. She's using traditional tools, traditional ideas, and all sorts of that, so it lasts for centuries. In some ways it looks better after 20 years in a good long way. Things start to happen to it, they start making it beautiful. So, yeah, Prabhupada is all these things is available from Srila Prabhupada. Unlimited numbers of things you can do like that. Everybody can be an instrument in their own way. It's a fantastic instrument in getting this message out there. And because you go on, like in this movie, Peruvian, Prabhupada says, you know, politicians, including all this hell, in an ordinarily peaceful situation. So when Oscar presents that picture and that thing, and he cuts to all these scenes of political from World War II to Vietnam War to Peruvian politics, and like doesn't mean like old newsreels and stuff, really good quality when he puts it all together, and you know, children crying, you know, obviously it's some kind of memorial service, just standing there singing a song, crying and stuff. And it's just like it's not too much. Some people say it's too heavy. It's not. It's actually informing you about what's happening in the world, really. You know? And then after that, he has the alternative, which is you take the Krishna consciousness and all these problems can be solved. They're unnecessary. Unnecessary. So that's some of the projects that we're doing. And, you know, books are the basis. Yeah? Books are the basis. If you want to build a temple, what's the basis? Books. Yeah. Kali Yuga, you know, two things have to go on simultaneously, building temples and distributing books, Prabhupada says. Like the two tracks of a railroad. Neither one's going to do well without the other. He said, but because it's Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan should lead. This is the whole purpose, to build these temples so there can be classes, movies, dramas, arti, kirtan. You know, people chanting Hare Krishna, they should be thinking, ah, there is Krishna. You know, or singing for him, like that, and feeling the presence like that. Sankirtan. And then everything else, you know, we'll go ahead. When they built the temple in Boise, they're in Seattle. What are the names of the deities in Seattle? And where are they now? Are they on the altar? They're in a warehouse right now. Temporary altar, because they're going to go on to their new temple. So we said there should be a competition in ISKCON. Which Ladani Lamadava get on their altar first? Texas or Seattle? Yeah. And they're facing the same problems with contractors and delays and everything else, you know, like that. Yeah. So, in Boise, they're building the temple. And the more they were building it, all the false, you had to go to a certain level, and all the false egos would come up. And they all resolved, and they'd go to another level, and another, all the more false egos would come out. You know, it was unbelievable. Until finally, the whole thing was finished. So I was talking to a Catholic priest about building temples. He said, yeah, the Catholic Church has a whole tradition about how it should be done and everything else. And I said, is there a book? And he said, yeah, it's called Built of Living Stones. So, yep, here's Shama Sundar, here's Kuvera, right there. You got to give your blood if anything goes up. I know, I've been involved sometimes. I remember what it took to put the floor in the prasadam in the Burundi temple. Yeah, I remember like what it was to get it done like that. Yeah. So it is. It's bhakti. It's bhakti. That's the difference. It's bhakti. And you can see it too. Yeah. You can see the difference. When somebody paid a lot of money, build a nice building, it's okay, but it's artificial, plastic, superficial. Yeah. Yeah.
So, quite question ahead. Any questions? Ready to buy the book? $15,000 for the book.
The Prabhupada key. So we're going to thank everybody. Yeah, yeah.
Is Prabhupada mentioned or entertainment was that Purulian has some Vedic connection?
Yeah. There's, who doesn't know, Peru has some Vedic connection, South America. As far as I understand, from Sariputta's explications, everything else, one common Vedic map is from the North Pole. It's a polar projection like that, you know. So therefore, everything below the equator is Patala. Right? Yeah. And the original name for Argentina down there is Patagonia. Like that. Yeah. And it's like subterranean heavenly planets. It's like that. They have this, you know, very, very high mystical things. You go to Cusco, you fly from Lima to Cusco. It's so hard to get there. You went there, Hari Lima. You know. The fog parts for like about 2 hours, and the airplanes come in like, choo, 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 choo. They dump everybody off on the runway, get them back on, the fog is coming in, get out, and you're, choo, 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 and you're locked in. You know, 11,643 feet in the air, you know. And the cathedral? Yeah, it's just so many tourists there. It's just like a spiritual place, because they're coming for spiritual life. So everybody that's walking around, the tourists and stuff are all come for spiritual life. They're all like, hello, and very friendly and alert. So it's like being in a holy place. You know? And of course, that was the Inca capital. The Inca Empire was bigger than Texas in length. Yeah, same size as Texas in length. And so many mystical powers, you know, like that. So in one purport, Prabhupada says that Ravana was keeping the gold in Brazil. Like that. So Brazil, Peru is just the other side of the Andes. The Andes are as tall as the Himalaya Mountains. And then one devotee, Gajahanta, told me that he heard in one lecture, Prabhupada said he was talking about Kumbhaka Yoga. Kumbhaka Yoga is frog yoga. Frogs can bury themselves in the mud when there's no rain and come out 2 years later. Some die, but many of them can just sit there and, you know, go down to hibernation, low level, low energy mode, and for 2 years, and the rain falls and they come out again. You know? So Prabhupada says this is Kumbhaka Yoga. It's called Kumbhaka Yoga. And he said the Peruvians had this yoga. What? Yeah. So between Bolivia, which is up in the higher mountains, and Peru, which is down below, it's all Peru before, there's a big lake called Lake Titicaca. Yeah. But it's big. It's like to cross it by boat takes about an hour, a motorboat. So when we were studying Spanish in high school, there's this lake, there's these frogs in this lake. And they're the most god-awful, ugly frog you ever saw. Exactly. Well, you stretch them out about this long, like the skin hanging down like that. And so if you put them nose to foot, there's so many frogs, you can go clear around the world with these things. There's 25,000 miles of frogs in this lake. And so here's a great science fiction story. If your thing is like movies and science fiction stories, here's your future. know, that when the Westerners came with their technology and everything else, the Inca priests with all their mystic powers realized that the time is against us, the astrology is against us. So they all converted themselves into frogs, right, to wait for the next solar flare, which would destroy all electronic activity, and then they're going to come out again and conquer the world. Night of the Inca Frogs. Yeah, it was a great movie like that, you know.
How long was it when you touched?
Empire? It was like five generations. It's like 150 years. But what it was, they were like one like local tribe. Yeah, they've been, you know, pretty good. And they just somehow or other got this karma and conquered all everybody else. So the civilization was there before they got there. In southern Peru, there is these lines. And when people got there, they're looking at these lines. They're as wide as like a, you know, six-lane highway. They go off in the direction that way and off in the direction that way. And what is this? Out in the desert in Nazca in the south. And when the Incas got there, they were already there. You know, the Incas, the previous Nazca civilization. And he goes down, you walk for like, you know, 15 minutes, and it turns left, goes that way. What is this, you know? So finally, when they got airplanes that flew over the place, they could see they were like gigantic animal forms and shapes like that. You know? So one science fiction movie says they were landing towers for extraterrestrials from outer space or something. But the thing is, you can't even lay them out except from the air, you know, like that. You know? So it's like, and they were there when the Incas got there. You know? So where are these things from? Another thing is that the Sacsayhuaman, which is the royal palace of the empire above Cusco. We went there with Hari Lila. Remember there? Yeah. So how big are the building blocks? Yeah, bigger than this room. I mean, four times the size of this room, some of those blocks. And they fit together. Some of them, not in squares, some of them are like, you know, like this, like that, like this. One of them has like 14 points on it, like, you know, on the square. And they fit together so close, like Fridays, you cannot put a piece of paper in between them. That's how close they are. So, Mr. Engineer. Yeah, well, we lifted it up and scraped a little bit off and put it down, lifted it up again and scraped a little bit down. Forget it. Well, we measured it with laser measurements and, you know.
Those things, one day, because of the weight itself, crush themselves into position.
No, they're flat. They're flat, flat carved stone. Excellent. Yeah. So, it's a point. Even there are things that exist, or even now, people have a hard time figuring out. I was in one museum, they were talking about like these kind of pots and stuff, and they have like a heated steel annealing process or something on them to make the pots. And I asked the person who's guiding us, how do they make them? They said, good question, huh? They still can't figure out how they did it. Yeah. And so we were there, you know, walking around in Sacsayhuaman, and they're still under the earth, they're still discovering all these, like, they discovered just recently one assembly area. And it has like about 20 stone seats in a circle with an altar in the middle with some kind of thing like that, with a place where liquids could flow. You know, what kind of liquids were flowing there? God only knows at this point. You know. But obviously there was like, you know, 20 seats and two higher seats and one specialty seat. It was like, you can just imagine like the beautiful ornaments and everything else, and pure gold. You know, the Inca dressed in finely, you know, made feathers, a pure gold feather cheddar. You know, it's incredible the artwork they do with the gold and stuff like that. You know, this is God. You know? And then the rituals, mantras, everything else. And so then we were walking around there, and there are tunnels that go down into the earth. So about like 15 years ago, one, you know, Indiana Jones Soldier of Fortune team went in there and didn't come out. So about 7 years later, somebody else mounted a new expedition with, you know, laser scopes and all this kind of stuff. They went in there, and after about 5 days, one local guy, you know, was a powerful guy, came out, and nobody else ever came out. And he was completely like, you know, shocked and, you know, everything else. And he was holding on to an ear of corn this big, made of solid gold, like that, you know. And he finally, in a mental hospital, calmed down, and, you know, what was hallucination, what was memory? He said, no, we were going inside. And there are pathways, like the tunnels go down, and things you could obviously tell that were like human structure, and car and stairways. And then we started being attacked by all these ghosts, and they were throwing people off the edges and breaking the ropes, and everybody was dying, and you know, and I, you know, we found all these treasures, you know. And I wanted to hang on to this and get out and show people that it wasn't just like myths, you know. But they were attacking me, and I was praying to the Virgin Mary on and on like that, and just they couldn't, you know. You know. So after that, the Peruvian government took cement and just closed them over. So on and on like this. So I was with maybe like 8, 10 Gurukula kids and other adults who I was. So there's one tunnel you can still go through there, and they said, let's go through it, you know. And there's one guy. Oh, you were there, weren't you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was like one guy sitting above the tunnel and kind of looking at us. I figured his job was kind of like just to watch to make sure nobody, you know, kind of looking at us. Okay, these guys can make it through like without dying, you know. So I started going ahead, and you know, after about the first, you know, 2, 3 turns, it's completely, absolutely pitch dark. You know, and it's like got rocks everywhere. I'm reaching out trying to feel the wall, and what am I going to touch like that? You know? Then behind it, every now and again, somebody takes a flash picture, you know, like that. So, you know, what are you going to see in front of you? And of course, all the little kids, just out of fun and out of terror, both start screaming. So here I am, leading the group, trying to find the walls, and stumbling over this stuff, and like that. You know, there's a place over there, duck down, you know, walking that way. Hit my head and just probably after about, no one knows how long it is, or if you take some wrong turn, maybe you end up like someplace they didn't know about, lost forever. So finally, I came out the other end, like made it out. Then there was a rock slide there, you know, just you could slide down on it to sit down and go like that. So anyway, it's just a superior culture. They had different kind of technology, but it's obviously some kind of superior culture. There's one frieze where it's carved in the wall there with this, all these monkeys with heads cut off falling from the sky. In Alto Peru, there's a whole story, a carnival story that goes on again and again of one princess who was kidnapped by a demon, and she was able to escape with the help of the demon's brother and some monkeys. Yeah. There's a picture from the pre-Inca picture, a statue of a little monkey with a club, with 1 foot down, 1 knee up, and his tail like that. Yeah. So maybe it's something else. But the whole thing is that the general thing is, and they accept, the Peruvians accept that this is a tale coming from the mind. Like that. It's legally, it's supposed to be taught in the schools, but they have no good translation. The mind. So it's like preaching down there is just like, you know, people are great. So yeah, Hari Lila went there. Brought him back alive. So, bring Hanuman Anjana Sudha Academy tours. You know, bring him back alive. Yeah. He was examining all the structural architectural. I was looking at the altars in the temple, how beautiful they were. He was hanging on the walls like that. I was thinking, how they do this? Overkill. So anyway, it's very nice. And so in October, everybody come for a vacation. October 11th through 14th, you know, sweet pineapples, you know, beautiful mangoes, smiling people, terrorists. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Just like India. Yeah. I mean, people will think it's your religion. Radhika Raman went there, and everybody was thinking he was like, he's Gupta. Everybody was talking to him in Spanish, and he said, I don't speak Spanish. You're looking at him like he was somebody who lost his caste or something. You're Spanish, not from India. Oh, really? Yeah. You look like that too in India? Yeah. Well, you also do this. Yeah. So very...
So now Ramayana teaching is easier than teaching from Ramayana?
They accept preaching from any classical culture. You know, Oriental Chinese. In Peru especially is Chinese culture. There's a lot of influence. There's a lot of influence from Chinese culture. And because the Spanish were there, they accept Varnashram Dharma. You know? It's very common. Dibhivani, at her house, her husband is there, Lily and Melinda. Lily is the secretary and Melinda is the cook. You know? and somebody Oscar's the helping hand. He comes, little kid comes in and helps. And Lily and Melinda, there's four girls for every boy, so it's very common girls don't get married. And they live there, and they're more a part of that house than they are their biological house. And they take care of them and everything else like that. So it's very common to understand, like, you take care of servants, you, everything else, and this is the master. And the whole Vedic culture is there because of the British didn't support that. The British kind of eliminated it to a large degree. But the Spanish encouraged, not encouraged, but they permitted interracial marriage, and then your children belong to a certain caste, like that. One of the most famous authors is Garcilaso de la Vega. His father was a Spanish captain, and his mother was an Inca princess. And he was accepted as being, you know, a certain caste, like that, and so on. Okay? So Spanish more. And because of that, you can preach Varnashram Dharma, and they appreciate that. It's very nice, nice preaching. So, I want to thank everybody. Thank you. Chat a little more. But Lord Chaitanya went to take prasad. Lord Chaitanya was going through the Jarikanda forest. He was chanting this mantra. If you look on the left of Gauratai's altar, you'll see the picture right there. And the monkeys and were singing, and jumping up and down. The elephants were singing. And the tigers and the bear were kissing each other.
You know? You also had a sangeetan in the park, and then a lecture on the city hall.
Yeah, yeah. It was so easy to preaching down there, people would come attracted. So when he was chanting this mantra, you've got to be careful how you use this mantra, otherwise you create havoc like that. Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Pahima.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Krishna, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Krishna Keshava Pahima
Krishna 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 Pahima
Krishna 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 Krishna
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 Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama.
Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava,
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna
Keshava,
Krishna
Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
I have a small gift for our hosts. Spiritual yoga. Thank you, God. Mahaprasadam ki.
Yeah.
Ah. Hey. Ah. Very
What do you have in your bag?
Frogs.
Oh, that's pretty.
Keychain.
Some keys. Little keys to a little box. A little box you can keep it in. Keys to a box.
We take it down like this.